Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 23 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. With Novak Djokovic winning his first French Open last week, his 12th major overall, he finally achieved the career Grand Slam and is now part of what is an elite eight men who have won all four majors. In part two of this French Open postmortem podcast, we take another look at Djokovic and ponder whether anyone can stop him as he continues to close in on Nadal and Federer in the record books. You know, in podcast one, I talked extensively about Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal, specifically whether Djokovic could catch and eventually surpass Federer's all-time record of 17 Grand Slam singles titles. At the time of our podcast in January, prior to the Australian Open, Djokovic had won 10 majors and just completed one of the most impressive single seasons ever. In 2015, Djokovic compiled a record of 82-6, winning 11 titles, including 3 Grand Slams and 7 Masters 1000 events. He came within one match of winning the calendar Grand Slam. The lone Grand Slam loss was, of course, the French Open final to Stan Wawrinka. And here we are after completing the first two slams of 2016, and to no one's surprise, Djokovic has added 2 more majors to his total, which now sits at 12. More importantly, at this point, he has become only the 8th man to have won all 4 majors for the career Grand Slam. So we again pose the question, who can stop him from his current assault on the record books? As I mentioned in podcast 1, if you look at the current landscape of men's tennis, all signs seem to point to Djokovic continuing this dominant run for the next 2, maybe 3 years. You know, consider the following. Djokovic is playing some of the best tennis anyone has ever seen. His 2 main rivals, Federer and Nadal, are on the backside of their illustrious careers. Djokovic dominates the head-to-head matchups versus his other 2 rivals, Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka. And the crop of young, talented potential superstars are likely still a couple of years away from being a realistic and consistent threat to Djokovic at the majors. So when you put that all together, Federer's record of 17 Grand Slam singles titles is actually, well, looks well within reach for Djokovic. You know, back in January in podcast 1, I mentioned that for Djokovic to have a realistic chance of catching and possibly eclipsing Federer, Djokovic would need to win at least 6 of the next 8 majors. Well, so far he's 2 for 2. And heading into Wimbledon later this month, there are still a lot of question marks regarding the health of Federer and Nadal. Federer has only played a few matches since the Australian Open because of the knee surgery, and then most recently a back injury. Federer will finally be back in action this week at the Mercedes Cup in Stuttgart. Now, even though the grass courts at Wimbledon probably give Federer his best chance for another major, he has not been healthy enough to play over the past few months. So I wouldn't be surprised if he struggled to knock off some of that rust over the next few weeks. So at this time, I just don't see Federer posing a real threat to Djokovic at Wimbledon. And really, it's the same for Nadal. Rafa was forced to pull out of the French Open before his 3rd round match due to a wrist injury. And he has already withdrawn from the Queen's Club tournament, which is a popular grass court tune-up event for Wimbledon, which starts next week. Similar to Federer, we're really not sure what to expect from Nadal, or if he will even be healthy enough to play at Wimbledon. You know, apparently he's still walking around with a splint and hasn't done a whole lot practice-wise. So if you're Djokovic, that's 2 of the top guys you don't likely have to worry much about heading into the next major. Of course, he will still have some tough competitors to deal with in Murray and Wawrinka, and of the young guns, Nick Kyrgios and Sasha Zverev are the ones I'll be watching for a potential breakthrough at Wimbledon. You know, Kyrgios is certainly a player whose uber power game, ball striking, and athleticism poses a real danger to any of the top seeds, especially on grass. The question with Kyrgios is always whether he can put it all together over the 2 weeks of a slam. Zverev is only 19. But at 6'5", long, lanky, and blessed with effortless power, he has the kind of physical game that on grass will be daunting for anyone to play. Now, some of you may be wondering why I did not include Dominic Thiem as one of the young guns to watch at Wimbledon. After all, Thiem is now a top 10 player after reaching the semifinals of the French Open last week. Now, Thiem is an awesome player. In fact, he reminds me of a right-handed version of a young Rafa Nadal. I believe Thiem will have a solid Wimbledon, but I really see this year's Wimbledon as more of a, call it a learning experience for him, as he continues to figure out just how to adjust his game, which at this point is more suited for clay, to the faster surfaces, particularly grass. That said, I don't believe I'm going out on a limb by predicting that Thiem could have a pretty good summer on the hard courts leading into the U.S. Open. One of the things he seems to be doing now with a little bit more frequency is shortening his backswing and flattening out his strokes. Now, that's certainly going to come in handy on the hard courts this summer. And we'll discuss the U.S. Open in a little more detail in a future podcast later this summer. The other player to watch at Wimbledon is Rajanic, because it's on grass and because of his monster serve and forehand. Now, Rajanic recently added three-time Wimbledon champ and tennis legend John McEnroe to his Thiem of coaches. It's too early to tell what kind of impact McEnroe will have on Rajanic, but anytime you can add that level of experience and success to your Thiem to go along with that serve and forehand on grass, you've got a chance. So what does this all mean for Djokovic? Well, I mean no disrespect to any of the players, but to be blunt, it means the path to winning his 13th major has never looked as favorable as it does today. However, Djokovic still has to play well and win 7 matches over 2 weeks against world-class opponents. And as we have seen with the Grand Slams, anything can happen over those 2 weeks of the tournament. Nothing is easy nor guaranteed. But if you're Novak Djokovic, you have to like the current set of circumstances, fresh off of your French Open victory and looking ahead to the next major at Wimbledon later this month. You know, I think he just has to stay healthy and play his game. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.